Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text today from the Gospel lesson of Matthew chapter 3. I will not reread, dear friends in Christ. If you remember back just a couple of weeks ago, I was preaching on a Micah text, and I quoted the prophet Micah there, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction." John's coming marks the end of an era. He is the last of the Old Testament prophets, and his coming is the fulfillment of the promises of God in Malachi and Isaiah 40. The voice that cries in the wilderness prepares the way of the Lord, makes straight in the desert the highway for our God. Jesus tells us in Matthew 11, "Truly I say to you, among those born of woman, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come." John knew this about himself, and yet he had no delusions of grandeur. When the Jews sent priests and Levites to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem, to ask him, "Who are you?" he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah had said." And to make straight the way, John comes proclaiming a message of repentance. Even John's dress and his diet reflects the message that he has to proclaim, and also reflects the prophet Elijah, as we see in 2 Kings 1. King Ahaziah had fallen and sent for help from the foreign gods, and Elijah caught the messengers and sent them back with God's judgment spoken through the prophet to King Hezekiah. And Hezekiah asked, "What kind of man was he who came to meet you and told you these things?" And they answered him, "He wore a garment of hair with a belt of leather about his waist." And he said, "It is Elijah the Tishbite." God proclaimed his judgment on King Hezekiah for seeking aid from false gods, Beelzebub, the lord of the flies, or dung heap, if you will, and the god of Ekron. And the judgment was death on this king. And 100 of his soldiers, as the king sent 3 groups of 50 to bring Elijah to him, the first 2 dying. The 3rd group pleaded for mercy and their lives to be spared by God. Ahaziah died for his sin of idolatry. In this spirit comes another camel hair clothed prophet. This is John the Baptist. And he comes to a similar people who had forgotten the one true triune God, as the temple had become a den of thieves and the priesthood had become, well, a home of nepotism, as all one had to do to be high priest was be related to Annas, who is the father-in-law of Joseph Caiaphas, who is the 5th of Annas' family members to serve as high priest. Into this world filled with nepotism and narcissism, surprisingly, well, just like our own, just without social media and smartphones and 24-hour news networks, comes John out of the Judean countryside, and this prophet comes proclaiming a message of warning: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This message is just as needed now as it was then, and this is the point of Advent, to prepare us for the coming of the Christ, not just to celebrate his birth, but for his return. As we have often joined in the sin of Ahaziah, acting as if there is no true God in the land. We have joined ourselves to the sins of the Pharisees, who turned the true faith into nothing but rules and regulations and works, desiring rewards. We have joined ourselves to the sins of the Sadducees, who rejected the clear word of God, the clear doctrines taught in that word of God, to suit their own understandings and their own wants, as we have lived as if there is no authority from the word of God at all. John's message is for us. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right now, right here, in his holy word and his blessed sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. These are the means that the Holy Spirit uses to enable us to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. These are the means that join us to the one who is greater than John the Baptist, the one whom John comes to prepare the way for, the one who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the one who baptizes with fire and spirit, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose second coming needs to be prepared for as well, even as we will pray today, thy kingdom come. In the small called articles of our Lutheran confessions, it speaks of this call to repentance this way. This is God's thunderbolt. By the law, he, that is God, strikes down both obvious sinners and false saints. He declares no one to be in the right, but drives them all together to terror and despair. This is the hammer. As Jeremiah says, is not my word like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is not active contrition or manufactured repentance. It is passive contrition, true sorrow of heart, suffering, and the sensation of death. This is what true repentance means. Here a person needs to hear something like this. You are all of no account, whether you are obvious sinners or false saints, that is, saints in your own opinions. You have become different from what you are now. You have to act differently than you are now acting. Whether you are as great, wise, and powerful, and holy as you can be, here no one is godly. That is, before the law of God. But to the office of the law, the New Testament immediately adds the consoling promise of grace through the gospel. This must be believed, as Christ declares, repent and believe the gospel in Mark 1. That is, become different, act differently, and believe my promise. John the Baptist preceded Christ, is called a preacher of repentance, but this is for the forgiveness of sins. That is, John was to accuse all and convict them of being sinners. This is so they can know what they are before God and acknowledge what they have lost, so they can be prepared for the Lord to receive grace and to accept and expect from him the forgiveness of sins. This is what Christ himself says. Repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Luke 24. Here ends the quote from the small called articles. Oh, what a wonderful confession this is. For John's message is a clear call for repentance of sins. His baptism was different insofar as the Jews practiced the baptism of unbelievers. When Gentiles would convert to Judaism, they would wash them, a ceremonial washing, a baptism, but not a holy baptism. You see, it was just with water for the repentance of sins. And John was calling all the Jews and saying to them, you are no different than the Gentiles who demand get washed yourself, be baptized. Jesus' baptism is completely different, because that water then is joined to his word and promise that brings the Holy Spirit, that joins us at that little font or wherever you are baptized to his death and his resurrection. That baptism works repentance and forgiveness of sins for us. That baptism joins us to Jesus' death and resurrection so that we can stand forgiven before God and have peace. Yet John's words are God's judgment against self-sufficient, self-confident, and comfortable sinners just like myself and you. Think about it. Can you imagine, I've said this before, but can you imagine coming to church and me or Pastor Rob saying, who warned you, brood of vipers? You serpents, you snakes, you scoundrels, from the coming judgment. Somebody might get mad at me. But that's the preaching of the law. And it should never make us comfortable. It should make us silent. Because the law is supposed to make us dead. God doesn't need us. He could raise up children for Abraham from the rocks. He's already told us that. But instead, God chose to allow the children of Adam to rise up, to raise up his only begotten son on a Roman cross, making the height of our sinfulness the source and gift of our salvation, through which Jesus draws all our sins into his flesh, dying our death, but rising from the dead on the third day, declaring our victory over sin, death, and the devil. This gift God gives to you and all who have God-given faith in Jesus Christ. And this is not for our doing, but a gift of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who works to create faith in and through these beautiful means of grace. The simple word proclaimed that is God's word that creates. The simple word joined to water, which is God's holy baptism. And the simple words and promises of God joined to bread and wine to bring you the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. These are the marks of the church and why you are here today, or at least why you should be. So we give thanks to God today that John's message, like ours, is never about ourselves. Rather, we must always point to Jesus. The one who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry or tie. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The church today, similar to John's work, is to prepare the way for the Lord's second coming. Now we are the voice crying out in the wilderness, and oh, how this wilderness has gotten crazy. But the message of repentance stands, as Jesus still comes with healing and peace and forgiveness into our sorrow, sickness, and sin. John came proclaiming, prepare the way of the Lord. And in Jesus' death and resurrection, that way is prepared for you and for all who believe. Dear family in Christ, hear John's call this Advent day. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For only then are we prepared to receive the good news of our salvation. Your sins are forgiven by our Lord Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. For this is why he comes. And when he comes again, it will be to take us to be with him in heaven. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.